All right, church. So we are, like I say, if you're breathing, you're praying as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, because every moment we live, we're constantly finding out how desperately we find ourselves in need of our Father who's in heaven. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." So we find ourselves constantly at his feet, constantly at the throne of grace, moment by moment as we live this life, trusting in the Lord and relying upon him. I'm going to come to you in the book of Genesis today. And by the way, let me also thank you for your prayers last week. I'm just reminded that a week ago today we weren't meeting because while I was standing at my kitchen sink drinking a green smoothie, I was being, amen, had just made myself a green smoothie, and I'm standing at the kitchen sink drinking this smoothie, and I felt palpitations, and I'm like, for real? I'm like, Lord, this, I know what this is. I'm like, but for real, it's like, I'm like, and I didn't say anything to Justin right away. I just kind of walked around the house, got some things in order, and called my wife, and I said, honey, now I just want you to, and I told Justin, and I called my wife, I said, honey, I just want you to, don't be upset or anything, because we've been through this before, but I'm the same thing that happened November 3rd is happening last Saturday, a week ago Saturday. So we ended up going to the hospital. I spent 3.5 hours there, and they didn't cardiovert me electrically, which I had no problem with, because they always say we're gonna do a small shock to your heart. A small shock the last time lifted my body 6 inches up off the gurney. I don't consider that a small shock. So anyhow, but they sent me home with some drugs, and my heart it converted or reconverted, I guess I should say, on that following Monday. So I'm thankful for those of you who cooked the meal, who did what you could to help out. I thank you so much. So here we are. And my heart's beating fine right now. And I'm thankful for every heartbeat. Oh, by the way, atrial fibrillation is not a killer. Okay. I found that out this time. The first time I thought I was gonna die, I didn't know what was gonna happen. But the second time I'm talking to the nurses and doctors and everything, they said, oh no, this won't kill you. It's a stroke. You could get a stroke from it though. So you have to take care of it. But atrial fib is not a killer. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, why didn't you tell me that the first time? And so I just have to take care of myself regarding that, and try and get to the place where it won't happen again. So I just wanted to thank you all for your concern and for your prayers. And that's where we're going to be concentrated or looking at today concerning Abraham and his intercession. In Genesis chapter 19, I want to look at one verse in particular. Verse 29, and it reads, somebody sound like they're having an explosion. Amen. And it reads, and it came to pass, what is that? Did I get it? I think I got it. Okay. Here comes Jim. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. And so today I've titled the message, God Remembered. God Remembered. And I want to focus in on this passage of scripture and make some comments surrounding it. The lead up to this passage obviously would be God passing judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. But before that, in chapter 18, God had visited Sarah and Abraham, and he came to them because he wanted to let them know, reiterate, that his, according to his covenant that he established with Abraham, that Sarah would have a son. God was going to give Sarah a son. And not just any old son. God would wait, as he had been, for Abraham and Sarah to age. Sarah was barren. And God knew it. And it was part of God's purpose. Because God was going to do it his way. God was going to glorify himself and not any human flesh. And therefore, what Abraham and Sarah did with Hagar wouldn't work. Ishmael wasn't going to do. God was going to have it his way, because the person through whom his son, the Messiah, would come into the earth, it would be by a miracle, not by human endeavor, not by human ingenuity, not by the strength of human flesh. John 1 says he was born not of the will of flesh, not of blood, not of man, right? He was born of the Spirit. And so so God comes to them, and he lets them know that in Genesis chapter 18. But after he lets them know that, in the same visit, God reveals to Abraham what he is about to do concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. And you can go back and read it later. But in doing so, he says to the angels that were with him, the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham that which I'm going to do, seeing that I've chosen him and I've known him in order that he may command his children to walk in justice and righteousness? And so God's covenant representative, who is Abraham, through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed, God said of him, shall I hide from him, or shall I reveal to Abraham what it is I'm doing, since through him all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed? And so God gives Abraham, his covenant representative, the man that he's cut a covenant with, he gives him access. We see this in Genesis 18. Because when he says this, he says, shall I hide it? And the Lord then turns to Abraham and he says, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will now go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come up to me. And if not, I will know. We read that in Genesis 18, 20 and 21. So what's very interesting about this is that God says, shall I hide from Abraham what it is I'm about to do? God invites his covenant representative, Abraham. He invites Abraham into a divine council, if you will. Here God is, he's speaking out loud, saying what he's going to do. And he says, am I going to hide this from Abraham? And he brings Abraham into the divine council, into what he is doing as he has come down to the earth. And he tells Abraham that this is what I'm doing. He says, I'm going to go down there now. He says, and I'm going to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that is against them. This is stunning to me as we read the scriptures, because what he's done with Abraham, we must then understand that there's an application of this that comes to you and I, you see. Now, Abraham, as we read the Old Testament, we understand Abraham Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are all types of Christ. Joseph is a type of Christ. All of them, if we were to study these characters, we would see Christ in their person. We would see types and shadows of Christ. But also we see Abraham as a type of the believer, him being the father of faith. But God invites him. Not only does he invite him into the divine council, what the scripture says, or what it reveals, is this. In verse 22, it says, of Genesis 18, it says, then the men turned away from there and they went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, so not only did God invite him into the divine council, God gave him a voice in the divine council of God. God, Abraham now is going to speak after God has spoken and said what he's about to do. Abraham now steps up and says, suppose there are 50 righteous there. And he says in verse 23, he said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And so here now, Abraham, we're familiar with his pleading for the righteous. And he says, Lord, if there are 50 righteous there, will you destroy it for 50? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And so now God has not only invited him to understand what he's doing in the divine council, but he's now given him a voice. Because it's the same way today, church. God has given you and I a voice through prayer and intercession, such that we can come, and oftentimes, you know, God will let us know something that he's going to do, and he does it in order that we might do what? Pray. Intercede. We see that with the prophet Elijah, that we use so much about prayer and intercession. When he prophesied to Ahab and said, go up, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, and he prayed for rain to come. And he prayed and prayed till he saw the cloud, the size of a man's hand, so forth and so on. Well, here, you know, we remember the story. Abraham started with 50. If there are 50 righteous, he went down to 45. Lord, if there are 45 righteous, and if there are 40, and the Lord said, if there are 45 righteous, I won't destroy it. If there are 40, if there are 30, if there are 20, Abraham said, would you destroy the 20 righteous with the wicked? And then Abraham gets down to the number 10 and 8 in Genesis 18:32. And he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he, the Lord, said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Oh, God, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. And the last verse of Genesis 18 says, so the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And so, in other words, Abraham stopped. Abraham stopped at 10. The one, God's covenant man, that he brought into the divine council and given a voice to pray. But Abraham stopped. And as soon, the scripture says, so the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. My, I wonder if Abraham understood that he was in the divine council. I wonder if he understood where he was. I wonder if we understand. Oh, God, the power, the place, the voice that God gives us. There's so much we like to do, so much we're busy about this, that, and the other. But church, let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of things we can do, but there is not much, there's nothing going to accomplish more than prayer. Nothing of all the stuff that we do, nothing is going to accomplish more than the prayers that we pray to God. Why? Because the things that we do, you know, we wake up, we have a list. I don't know about you, but I have a list of things I want to accomplish to keep on track during the day. Well, that may be my list, but God has an agenda. And God's not working off my list. Hello? He's not working off my list. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man may devise his way, but the Lord directs his steps. In other words, you can draw up your list, but God said, no, that's not happening today. That's not going to work today. No, you're going to the hospital today. Amen. You're going to have to trust me through it all. Why am I going to? You're going to have to trust me. And so God has his agenda, right? And we know prayer is all about the will of God, not the will of man. And so Abraham stops. In verse, I'm going to jump back over to Genesis 19:29 and read again. And it says, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. Now, we just said Abraham stopped at 10, which he did. The scripture says that God remembered Abraham. In other words, there was something Abraham did that marked, that God acknowledged. This word in the Hebrew for remembered is zakar. Zakar, it means to mark. It means to mark something. So when you and I, when we call and we try and get an appointment to do this, that, or the other, we tell a person we're going to be at a certain time, and what we ought to do, what most of us do, we go on our calendar and we put a mark that at this time I'm going to be here at this place, lest we forget. This definition says that it's a mark so as to be recognized, to remember. So when it says that God remembered Abraham, we know that God didn't forget. Hello? We know that he didn't forget. When it says God remembered him, it means it was marked. It was marked. God recognized it. He had acknowledged Abraham. We'll see this throughout the scriptures. And so God acknowledged Abraham. Why? Because Abraham interceded, because Abraham cried out, because Abraham used the voice that God had given him as he brought him into his divine counsel. Thayer's Greek lexicon, Or rather Briggs, Brown Driver and Briggs Hebrew lexicon translates this word zakar. It means to be brought to remembrance, to be remembered, to be thought of, to be brought to mind, to record, to mention, or to make a memorial. We see the likes of this in Exodus chapter 22, Exodus chapter 2, rather, verses 23 and 24. And this is how it reads. Now, it happened in the process of time. Remember, in Exodus chapter 1, Jacob has gone down into Egypt with his 70 of them have gone down into Egypt. Now, the king that knew Joseph has passed away. A different Pharaoh has arisen that didn't know Joseph. They put the people into bondage, and the people now are crying out. And it says, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. Diane mentioned this about the bondage in her exhortation to us about Black history, that there was a cry made, and that Black people understand that because we know what the bondage means. And but not only do we know what the bondage means, every person alive knows what bondage means. Amen. And particularly the people of God did here. Says, then the children of God, Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. Verse 24 says, so God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And again, when it says God remembered, it doesn't mean for God forgot. We know God is not forgetful. Amen. It means that it was marked. God recognized. He acknowledged them. He knew exactly what was going on. But their cry was tied in to God's remembrance. Why? Because the cry is a marker, or the remembrance is a marker. And when they cried out, it was an indication, it was an acknowledgement. God heard their crying, and it was acknowledgement of the covenant that he had made with them through Abraham, his covenant representative. So when they cried out, God remembered. We see this in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 5, where it says, I have also, God speaking, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel with whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. And what we see here, we see it with Abraham. Abraham cried out on behalf of the righteous. God remembered Abraham. The children of Israel cried out because of the bondage. God remembered his covenant. We see that we see time and time again that when we pray and when we cry out to God, God marks it. God remembers. It's a memorial. It goes up before God. Our prayers, and remember this, our prayers do not stay earthbound. Listen, they may be uttered here on earth, but the scripture says that they ascend to God who's in heaven. Hello. And so there's this time between the crying out or the prayers of God's people with God and his covenant, him remembering, just as we saw with Abraham. So as Abraham asked God for mercy over 400 years earlier and was remembered by the Lord, so too the children of Israel were remembered by God because of the cry that came up before God. Exodus 3 and 7 reads, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sorrows." So God hears the cries of his people. He hears your every cry. And what's so beautiful about this is that it's not just the cry, the verbal cry. God knows that you and I know that God knows the cry of our own hearts. God hears the cry of our hearts. He hears what we call the self-talk, you know. And if you won't talk to yourself, something wrong with you. See me after service. We'll have a time of prayer. But listen, we all talk to ourselves. Amen. And so he hears that, right? Exodus 3 and 9 reads, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up before me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them." So our prayers, the scripture says, God says that the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. And we know that God dwells in heaven. Our prayers go up. And so our prayers, like incense, rise up to God. Rise up before the Lord. David said this in Psalm 141 in verse 2. He said, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Let my prayers be set before you as incense." What would the high priest do? He would go in, he would take a coal off the altar, he would put it on, the incense would be on the altar of incense, he would take the coal and put it on the altar of incense, and the fragrance would fill the Holy of Holies, fill the holy place, fill the Holy of Holies, and it would arise up to God. Well, David said, "Let my prayers be like that. Let my prayers be set before you as incense." And so so our prayers, the vision is there, or in your mind's eye, you see the prayers going up to God as the smoke would arise, it would fill the holy place. So our prayers don't remain earthbound. I mean, they go up to heaven. Revelation 5:8, Revelation 8:3-4 speaks of how in Revelation 5:8, the scripture says that the prayers, that the incense were the prayers of the saints. Revelation 8 says that the angel mixed incense with the prayers of the saints. But in Revelation 8, church, the prayers are not here. They're there. How did they get there? How did they get there? Amen. Because our prayers, you know, I've said this often. I've said it many times before. I've heard people say, "I feel like my prayers never go higher than the ceiling." I'm like, you do? You never felt that? No, our prayers penetrate the ceiling. Our prayers go far beyond the ceiling, church. And so when we pray, as Abraham cried out, as the children of Israel cried out, so our prayers lift up before God, and God would have it. That's why Paul said in, what is it, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, he said, continue instantly in prayer, that we're to be in prayer constantly. We just quoted Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And that, what does that mean? It means we pray about everything, in everything. And it's not necessarily closet prayer. It's not you're down in your closet. You're driving down the road and you need God. You're driving, you're walking up the steps at work, and you need God, and you're constantly in contact. You're constantly, your heart's constantly, oh, Father, help me, oh, God. Lord, I can't do this. Lord Jesus, be by my side. Lord Jesus, strengthen me. And so we are constantly, listen, the Christian life is one of prayer fellowship, prayer communion with God. You're always in communion with him, right? And so this is what God invited Abraham into the divine council so he would hear what God was about to do. My God. And when God comes to us and let us know what he's about to do, he wants our input. My God, think about it for a second. He wants your input. He's like, what do you have to say? Oh, my God. Father, now we pray. And this is why it's all about the will of God. This is why, oh, God, the place that we have, if we understood, if we really got our arms around where we are in Christ as Abraham under the old covenant was brought into the council of God. Hey, you and I in the New Testament, Jesus going into the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, hey, stay awake with me. Watch and pray. He comes back. They're asleep. He says, Peter, what are you doing? He says, rise. Pray lest you enter into temptation. And so they had their moment, but they didn't, you know. So here we are. All right. So our prayers like incense rise before God. Exodus 22:22. God said this, you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry. I will surely hear their cry. As God was telling the children of Israel, you treat the widow and the fatherless right. You do not afflict them. Because if you do, I will surely hear their cry. God hears the cries. He hears the cries of the oppressed. He hears the cries of the afflicted. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 16 reads, this is when God's telling Samuel that he's going to bring him a king. Speaking of Saul, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. Their cry has come to me. Make no mistake about it. Your cries, our cries, go into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. James chapter 5 tells us. 2 Samuel 22:7, David speaking here, which is the same thing as Psalm 18. 2 Samuel 22:7, David said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple and my cry entered into his ears. David knew his God. He says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. And I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. Where does our cry go? It enters his ears. He hears. He sees. Amen. Psalm 34:15 is quoted by the Apostle Peter in the New Testament. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. His eyes are upon you, and his ears are open to your cry. So what does that tell us? Cry out, church. Pray, pray, God, pray. Pray, pray impossible. Listen, pray things that you can't do. Pray things that only God can do. Listen, because there's nothing impossible with him. There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing he can't do. Remember I said, I don't know, a few months ago, when God says, you know, we look at people and say, God will never use that person. God can never do anything with that person. And God says, thank you very much. That's exactly the person that I'm going to use now. The one you said I can't do anything with, that's the one I'm going to. I'm sure people thought about Saul when they were throwing the clothes down at his feet as they're stoning Stephen. People look at Saul and say, yeah, not that one. Matter of fact, Ananias even told God, said, God, have you heard about this boy? Oh, no, he's not good. No, God said, no, he's a chosen vessel of mine. He's a chosen vessel of mine. Yeah. David said in Psalm 57 and verse 2, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs or completes or perfects that which concerns me. David cried out to God because his trust was that God would do for him what needed to be done. He recognized that God completes and brings all things to an end as it related to him. David knew that he was nothing without God. So he clung fast to the Lord. Psalm 106, verse 44 reads, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. He regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. He regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Listen, things happen when we pray that don't happen when we don't pray. Oh, my goodness. I'll be saying that to the day I go to be with Jesus. Come on, church. Things happen when we pray. So we pray about everything. Amen. We pray. These doctors want to test me for this, that, and the other thing. And I'm constantly praying, Father, would you please help them? Please help them. Because they need you, Jesus. And I really need for them to get the help that they need from you, because they're working on me. Amen. And so we need to pray, church. We need to pray and bring our petitions before the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 28 reads, Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. So one of the greatest abilities we have is the ability to cry out to God, to rely upon him, and to pray. And as I said earlier, there's a lot that we can do, but there's far more we can do with prayer and through prayer. Amen. Even that what we go to set our hands to, if we pray about it first, before we put our hands to it, it'll have the power, and the hand of God will come on your hand. Amen. And make your work prosperous. Make our work, as David said, bless the work of our hands when God put his hands on your hands. Amen. Matter of fact, there's a testimony, the late Joshua Dumbo, every time he would come back from where he was, even when he was in school, I remember him telling me, I said, Joshua, how's everything going? He said, Pastor, and you remember me telling you this story. While he was interning at one of the doctor's offices, the PhD, the doctor would see the patient and work on the patient, and the doctor did all that she could do. And he would go in and ask the doctor, you know, can I continue? And he said, yeah. She said, yeah. And so Joshua would pray. And he said, Lord, Father, he said, be with my hands, Lord, help me. He was a physical therapist. He did, you know, and he said, he would get to pressing here, there, and he would get to working on this person. And the person's testimony was, well, wait a second. The doctor's done, but young man, I'm feeling something. I don't know what you're doing, but something, I'm feeling better. And he would tell me how he would ask God, Lord, use my hands. Lord, use my hands. And so he saw that God's taking his hands and putting them on his hands and then making his work prosperous. So he relied upon the Lord that way. Psalm 145, verse 19, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. This is the God that we serve. Over in the New Testament, we see the exact this exact scripture play out with good old son of Timaeus. We know him as Bartimaeus. Bar means son of. Bartimaeus was the son of Timaeus. We find the account in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. The scripture reads, "Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho," speaking of the Lord Jesus, "with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging." He sat by the road begging. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus!'" See, wasn't it, you know, when it said cried out, you read the, what was the English version, or the NIV says he shouted. He began to cry out and shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And so here now, Jesus is passing by, and the scripture says that Bartimaeus sat by the road begging. But when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he stopped begging and he started shouting. Hello? You see, Bartimaeus begged men, but when he heard the Son of God coming by, he started shouting. A blind Bartimaeus knew this: if I beg, I'll get a little bit from a man, but if I shout, I'll get, oh God, I'll get healed from Jesus. I'll get touched by the Son of God, because if I cry out to God, man may be able to give me a little bit here or there to give me something to eat, but God can heal my blindness. God can totally cure me. And so blind Bartimaeus began to cry out. He said, "No more, no more of this begging." Because begging will only accomplish so much. But crying out to God, he knew that Jesus was a blind man healer. And crying out to God, he could experience and realize total healing and restoration. So he stopped begging and he started crying out. My God, when are we going to stop begging and start crying out to God? When are we going to go, you know, it said about the woman with the issue of blood. She went to all the doctors and spent all that she had and was none better. And when she was done with that, she says, "If I could just get to him, if I could just touch the hem of his garment," she was made completely whole. Well, Bartimaeus said, "Okay, I'm done begging. I'm going to cry out to God." He recognized that man can help a little, but God can set you free and heal you totally. And so the story goes on. Verse 48 of Mark chapter 10 reads that then many warned him to be quiet. Many people warned him to be quiet. And again, Diane mentioned the Azusa Street revival, and people talked all about how the people were shouting and making all of this noise. And of course, they wanted those people to be quiet too, but they weren't having it. That just wasn't going to happen. No. These people were done begging. They said, "No, we're going to cry out to God. We're being touched by God." And so they gave themselves to it. The scripture says that many of these people warned him to be quiet. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't have the ability or the means to get up and follow Jesus or even know where he is, but all of these people are telling him he needs to be quiet. But the scripture says, but he shouted all the more. He shouted all the more. So when people get in your way, look, people get between you and God, and that thing you believe in God for, God's got a miracle for you. When people get in between you, then you start to lift up your voice. Then you start to shout all the more. The scripture says, they said, "Be quiet. Why are you messing with the master?" Hello, what do you mean be quiet? Why am I messing with him? I'm freaking blind, man. y'all need to stand back and let me go to the front of the line. No, they weren't having it. They tell him, "Be quiet." But no, Bartimaeus says, "No, this is my chance." And so the cry for help goes where the body can't go. Blind Bartimaeus couldn't get to Jesus. But you know what could get to Jesus? Hey! Jesus! Help me! Jesus! He said, what is that person over there doing? I'm making all that noise for? Well, y'all won't let me at him. Y'all can't get to him through you. So he said, I'm going to tell you what will get to Jesus. And blind Bartimaeus lifted up his voice and cried out to Jesus. And so we have verse 49. So Jesus stood still. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. What does your cry do to God? It causes Jesus to stand. Amen. Jesus stood still. Isn't that what the scripture said? God was standing still talking to Abraham. Because God wanted to hear what Abraham had to say, because he invited him to the council. Where here, blind Bartimaeus, he's doing the same thing. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And so this is the effect of Bartimaeus' cry. God stopped. God, the Son of God, stopped when he, what he was doing, and he remembered Bartimaeus. He remembered. Now, again, remember doesn't mean he forgot, because God doesn't forget. But God marked it. Jesus marked. God took note. God, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus acknowledged Bartimaeus' presence. Now, here's a question. What would have happened if Bartimaeus had said nothing? What would happen? He's blind, sitting there begging. He would have been begging potentially for the rest of his life because he wouldn't cry, because he wouldn't have lifted up his voice. And yet people were trying to resist him in crying out to Jesus. And so in the same verse, it says, then they called the blind man saying, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Yeah, well, he's calling me now. Guess why he's calling me? Because I called him. Amen. What does the cry do when we cry out to God? God responds. So we see this in the life of Bartimaeus. And the scripture says, throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. And we know the rest of the story. Jesus opened up his eyes and he followed Jesus in the way. So I said that to say, what's going on with Abraham is very important. God called him into the divine council, gave him a voice with which to speak. Abraham used his voice. We see it again in the New Testament, Acts chapter 10. I'm not going to read all the account. I'll just read verse 4. You know about the centurion who was praying, and God sent him, Cornelius, God sent him to call for Simon Peter, who came and preached the gospel to him. But this is what the scripture says, what happened in order, in response. This is what God did. Verse 4 says, and when he observed him, this angel comes into Cornelius' room, and he says, and when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. In other words, God fashioned the heart of Cornelius to have a hunger for God and cry out to know who God is. So when in response to that, Cornelius begins to pray. He's a devout man, a religious man. He's giving alms and he's praying. And the Bible says that those prayers and those almsgivings had come up as a memorial before God. Again, the word memorial in the Greek means a reminder, a mark, if you will, a record. And so when the record came, God acted. God acted. God is the one who initiated all of this. So Abraham interceded, but God remembered and marked, called to attention and recorded his prayer. God acknowledged it and took note of it. However, for whatever reason, Abraham did not ask for more of the mercies of God. If you remember, he stopped at 10 righteous people. 10 righteous. And after 10, because he said, Lord, let me speak one more time. If there be 10 righteous, will you spare it? And God said, I won't destroy it for 10. And we made note, I talked recently on this in Tuesday prayer, but I felt to come back to it today. Abraham stopped at 10. apparently because maybe he thought that he had exhausted the mercies of God. Maybe that's what he thought. But how many of you know that the Bible says God is merciful? His mercy is everlasting, right? And how many of you know, I believe that if Abraham had said, Lord, if there be five righteous, God would, hey, let's go even further. Oh, God. If Abraham would have said, Lord, if there be one righteous. How many of you think if Abraham had gone to one, God would have said, I believe with all my heart that if Abraham would have gone and said, Lord, would you spare it for one righteous? Well, we know he did for us because he sent his only begotten son. Oh, God. He sent his only begotten son upon whom the wrath of God, he came to save sinners from the wrath of God Almighty, which was upon us, right? And God sent his only son. But Abraham, maybe in his mind, thinking that he had exhausted the mercy of God, he stopped at 10. And so, excuse me. And so we come back to verse 29, where it says, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. Well, you remember the angels came, and from the account of Scripture, we have 4, 3, 2, 1 righteous. Lot went to his sons, that would have been 6, to his sons-in-laws, that would have been 6, but they laughed at him, so we're down to 4. His wife didn't make it. Well, she made it out, but she didn't make it because she had so much Sodom in her that she turned back and her spiritual progress forever ceased. And she turned into a pillar of salt. His daughters tell us what was really in them after what they did to him after they got out. So basically what we see is just what the scripture says. Sent God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out. Lot. There was one righteous. There was one righteous. Now, let me just say this and then I'll close. Abraham, what's so beautiful about verse 29 is that God did for Abraham what Abraham didn't ask. Because he said if there be 10 righteous, according to Abraham, Lot should have been overthrown. Lot should have been killed. Because God said, if there be 10 righteous there, I won't destroy it. And if you remember, Lot went to one of the cities that was supposed to be destroyed. And the angel said, we won't spare that. We will not destroy that city because you're going there. That was one. So God did for Abraham what Abraham didn't even ask. Why? Because God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. Listen, sometimes we don't know how to ask or what to ask for as we ought to. Isn't that what Romans 8 tells us? Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Abraham was weak. He didn't know what to ask for. The scripture says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. And Abraham got down to 10 and he was done. But the scripture says in the New Testament, but the Spirit. Now for Abraham, it was God who then took up where Abraham left off and said, listen, I'm not going to destroy Lot. I'm going to deliver Lot. I'm going to deliver his wife. I'm going to deliver his daughters. And Abraham wouldn't even go there, but God did. So when we don't know how to pray as we ought to, the Bible says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. When we don't know exactly what to pray for, like Abraham, God knows what we need. And he knows what he's going to do. And God takes over. Oh, God. And he does many a time. I don't know about you, but I got testimony after testimony of God doing for me above and beyond what I asked him to do. Amen. And that's what God did in this scripture. God delivered Lot, even though Abraham didn't specifically ask him to. Lot owes his deliverance to Abraham. And what's interesting is the scripture never even tells us if Abraham and Lot ever meet up again. We don't even know. Lot may have no clue in his mind at all that it was Abraham who would, it was because of his intercession. It was because of his going before God that was responsible for him being delivered out of the overthrow. The scripture says God sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities. And I believe that God would have you and I go before him and to intercede for other people, that God might deliver them from the overthrow, that God might rescue them through our prayers and through our intercessions. So I just want you to know that God hears your every cry. He hears our every cry. He sees, he knows. So cry out. James said, you lust and don't have. He said, you murder, you envy. And then he said, you don't have because you don't ask. And then he went further and said, and when you do ask, sometimes you ask, you do not receive because you ask amiss. But what we must do is we must ask. We must pray. And I tell you what, when I get up in the morning and pray, what after morning prayer, I never feel more confident, not in me, but in God. When I start my day before the throne, when I start my day asking God's guidance and his deliverance, knowing that he is already walking through the midst of my day, knowing every person I'm going to meet, knowing every circumstance I'm about to go through. Father, I thank you that you go before me and you order my steps in your word, and therefore my eyes are on you and my ears are open to your voice. And Lord, I simply want to do your will. So when we go before him in prayer and remain before him in prayer all the day long, he hears. And even when we don't know what to pray as we ought to, he's interceding for us. Amen. Let's bow our head in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you now. We thank you for your word, for your truth, for your faithfulness toward us. We thank you, O God, that your mercies are everlasting. And we thank you, O God, that which you have ordered for us, that which you have ordained for us, Lord, the places that we occupy, Lord, the destinations that you have for us, the relationships, O God, that you have ordained. Father, we pray, O God, that in all of these things, your will would be done to the glory of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And Father, help us, Lord, to be so keen and so aware, Lord, that you are ready, Lord, and predisposed to hear our every cry. Therefore, then, let us run to you with every petition, every burden, knowing, O God, Lord, that you are faithful to hear our cry, Lord, and to deliver us, O God, in all of our afflictions. Father, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit, O God, that is going on in us, that we might be transformed into the image of your Son. Bless us now as we go. We ask all these things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. All right. Before we go, Jim, do you want to give an update? I see Irene is with you.
Oh, Pastor Pat.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Yes, we can.
We're having problem with our audio.
Okay.
So raise your hand if you can hear me.
Go ahead.
Okay. My wife would like to say a couple of words.
Hi, Pastor Pat. Thank you so much for praying for me. And I'm thinking about you all the time. And I'm getting a lot better.
Hey, man. That's good to hear.
Another week, I find out everything is over with.
Okay.
I just got to take my medicine and everything. And they make me drowsy. Okay. But I've got to do what I have to do. And thank you so much for everything.
Amen.
Soon.
Amen.
Bye.
Okay.
God bless you. And we're praying for you every day. We love you. We miss you, but you do take care of yourself. Take your medicine. Do what the doctor says do. And we're covering you in prayer, okay?
Amen.
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 All right. Anyone else need to share? All right. All right. Well, then that concludes our virtual service for today. If we don't see you Tuesday prayer, we'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday at 2 p.m.
Okay. God bless.
God bless you all.
Bless you. Thank you.